Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So, last couple of weeks, Philip has been referring to things around the church in Acts and some specific points there, and we've been praying around this, and there have been words coming around this for a while, and some of you will sit and say, "No, but I knew about this for months already," which is amazing. And but while we were praying and fasting recently as a church together, for those of you who were at the Wednesday night when we broke the fast, we'll remember that when it was time for feedback of what God's been saying and what God's been stirring in us and what we've been praying about, there wasn't a lot of variety. It was all the same, which is not boring. It's very encouraging because God was very clear to a large part through all the words that were coming through, very clear around what He was telling us. And so the Lord's been speaking to us about loving one another. He's been speaking to us about being a community. And so that's really been coming through quite loud and clear. So we're going to take a few weeks, however long it takes, and we're going to start to unpack a little bit some things, unpack things around that, around what God's been saying. And we keep on searching, you know, the scripture, and we keep on trusting Holy Spirit to direct us as we go. But just to give you that little bit of background, we're really trusting to get to grips with what God is telling us. Amen? So we had a look at Acts chapter 2, and I'm just going to briefly read it. That's quite small, but just stick with me. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And I'll just recap this scripture. Philip has been mentioning and giving reference to it. But it's such a great snapshot of the life in the church of Acts. A few key things that was part of their life together. I don't have time to go into all these things, but we're going to take some moments over the next couple of weeks, maybe longer, and we're going to look at a whole bunch of these keys and what we believe are key building blocks for us building community and us being obedient to what God is telling us as a church in this season. And I want to refer to another scripture that Philip mentioned in John chapter 13, where Jesus writes, Jesus speaking, says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." And then he quantifies it, and then he says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, this is an important one, and one that we know about, a new commandment, Jesus says. And then he quantifies what the new commandment is. He says what it is, love one another. And we say, okay, we've heard this before. But then he adds a small phrase there, which just changes the game completely. He says, not like you love, like we used to say, love your neighbor like yourself type of thing. He says, I want you to love one another the way I have loved you. And he makes it impossible. He says, I want you to love one another. And he says, but this is the way I want you to do it. And then we're like, what? How do you even start that? How do you even start loving somebody the way Christ loved us? And so it's important that we get to grips with that reality and realize this is the work of grace. Amen? This is not something I can just decide one day, I'm going to be like Jesus, I'm going to love everybody like Jesus. This is not something I'm capable of in myself. Okay? So a work of grace that God does in and through us. And then he says, adds another bit here at the end. He says, this is my marketing strategy. This is it. This is how people will know that you are my disciples. This is the way. I don't want to add campaign. I don't want to have stuff when the rugby's going, those ads, everybody's watching. I don't want those ads. This is my campaign, says Jesus. I want people to see that you are my disciples by the way you treat one another, by the way you love one another. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? quite challenging, but also encouraging that Jesus says, listen, this is the way people are going to know that you belong to me, that you're my disciples, by the way you treat one another, by the way we love one another. So that's why we're going to stand still around that for a while now. What does that look like? How can we really love one another? How can we walk in community with one another to a point that we would reflect Christ? People would recognize, whoa, these guys, they've been with Jesus. These people, look at the way they treat one another. Look at the way they have community. Look at the way they love one another. We want to have part of that. People will recognize we are His. Isn't that exciting? All right, so I'm going to have to be brief. Excuse me. And I'm just going to point out a few keys here. And this morning, we're going to look at, we can just go to that picture again, to the left. I want us to look at part of us building community is sharing beliefs and values. Sharing beliefs and values that really mean something to us. And I chose that photo there, that a belief or a value is not so much to do with where we are going or our destination or our goal or our vision. We'll get to that as well. That's also very important, but not today. But the values are kind of who we are and how are we approaching this journey or this course that God has set out for us. What are the values and the beliefs that shape the way we do things and the way we are tackling this road that God has put in front of us? And these guys are going up quite a steep climb there, and it's obviously snowy and dodgy, and they've got all the right equipment. But can you see they have a fixed line there where they're clipped onto? And that's often not sort of our values work. It's, you know, if there's a storm or there's bad weather and bad visibility, or you know, there's a couple of these. It might be a whole bunch of different routes to get up to the summit, and different teams might be using different routes to get up there. But once you've decided this is the way you want to tackle this summit, and this is the route you're going to take, there's different options, then you put this fixed line down, and it helps you to stay on course when things get a bit rough, right? So those values, those beliefs that help us to stay true to who we are and what God has called us to do, even when visibility isn't good, even when we're not sure what's, you know, what the course is looking like right ahead, you know, there's mist or something. But we know these things are key to who we are. Some would say a value is that irreducible minimum of who you are. If you take away all the peripheral, what is that irreducible minimum? By the way, it's actually a great exercise to sit with your family and with your spouse and pray through these things. You as a family, what is the irreducible minimum for us as a family? What are we all about? If you had to take away the jobs and the careers and the place we stay and the drive and all the peripherals, we as a family, who are we really? What are we about? What are the things that if you had to change everything else, what are the things that will not change? What are the things that will stay the same? Are you with me? So, great exercise to really pray through those and put those down for you as a family. Really a great blessing. All right, so we've got the picture in our minds. Now let's go on. Sorry. So one of these key building blocks of building community is this, and recognizing, wow, that we've got some things in common, we've got some shared values and beliefs. And you know, in an organization, the guys would take time, they would brainstorm, and they would throw a lot of thoughts in the air, and then people would, you know, filter it down and say, okay, but what do we as an organization stand for? Where are we going, and how does that all fit together, right? So they will do all that. But you know what? As believers, we are very fortunate. We didn't have to brainstorm about this morning, because God has blessed us with something that really comes down to, that really quantifies what we believe and the values that He is entrusting or is giving us. And that's in Scripture. And I want us to look at our statement of faith, just the first line of the Shofar statement of faith. If you haven't read it, it's actually quite cool. It's on the website. The first line of our statement of faith is, we believe in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments in their original writing as fully inspired of God, and accept them as the supreme and final authority for faith and life. Isn't that a good start? And there's a lot of stuff in between there. And then the last line is, the church is open to any further truth which the Holy Spirit may illuminate from the Scripture. So right there we recognize that we might change, and lots of stuff around us may change, and the values around that the organization chooses may change, but Scripture will not change. Scripture in its original writing, as God has inspired it, is not going to change. And that is great. And that is something that should, I believe, give us that peace to know, wow, if I use Scripture as the basis of the way I do things and the way I live, that's a solid foundation. And this is quite a mouthful, this first statement that we have. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testament in the original writing, fully inspired of God, as the supreme and final authority for faith and life. So there, right there, is the basis on which we as a church family, we base our values. Who are we? What are we all about? This is the core, at the core of that. It's the Scripture that God has given us. So I can't go through the whole statement of faith, but what a blessing that, you know, even when things go up and down, even when structures change, even when church politics happen and leaders change and come and go, we know that when it comes down to the bottom of it, we believe in the Bible. Because God has inspired it and He's given it to us. And we trust that we can build whatever we do on that. Knowing that we might have to correct ourselves as we go along, right? And we are open for what the Holy Spirit would say to us through the Scripture. But at the basis of it is the Word of God. For me, that's really encouraging. There's so much nonsense out there. There's so many different opinions about life and everything else. That it's such a blessing to know that God does not change and His Word does not change. I mean, are you with me this morning? Let's have a look at Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And, you know, at the beginning, I prayed specifically, Lord, that we humble ourselves. Because there's so much going out there in the world. There's so much good advice. There's so many great 10 steps for everything. That it's so important for us in this information age, where there's so much information so readily available. Google or YouTube, anything. I don't know, YouTubing now how to train dogs and things. Because we have a new member in our family. Yeah. So I don't know why it's necessary to have another baby, because we already have one, right? We have one that still does nappies and things, and now we have to clean up another baby's poo. Any case, but she's really beautiful and she's a great blessing. But so now we're learning how to train dogs. She's very clever, let me just say. A Labrador Pointer Cross. Very clever dog. She's only 9 weeks old and she already calls us when she has to go to the bathroom. I have to teach you how to flush, though, but we'll get there. Okay. All right, so, there's so much information out there. Yet so much more important for us to humble ourselves, even though we have so much information available and almost in our reach, to recognize that God's ways are higher than our ways. That we don't know better. That we don't have the best, you know, in our hearts and our minds. But God's ways are higher. And we humble ourselves and say, Lord, we want to walk according to your way. We want our values and our beliefs and what directs how we do things and how we walk in this life. We want that not to be according to man's ways. We want it to be according to your ways. So there's already there's a humility that's needed in a point like that. We recognize, Lord, change our hearts, change our minds, transform us so that we would not think the way the world does, that we would pursue your ways and your thoughts. Romans chapter 15, verse 46 says, but whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may, with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. The things that were written before were written for our learning. So even the Old Testament, even those crazy stories that sometimes, you know, we're like, why is this in the Bible? Were written for our learning. And then it's so powerful, they say, we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort of the scriptures. And then it says that it would, for us to come to a place of like-mindedness. So with the scripture as our basis and our foundation, that we would come to and walk a journey of discovery together, saying, okay, what's in the scripture? How can we dig in scripture together? How can we, you know, discover scripture together to a point that we would be like-minded? We would be in a place of agreement around what is God telling us? What is God saying to us as a church family? And how does that tie in with what is our irreducible minimum? How do we follow him? In Ephesians chapter 5, I just want to continue on this for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. It's the New Living Translation. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now I want to... Oh, this is very dark. Sorry about that. yeah, take my words for it. And right here I want to just touch on something. Something that I believe we need to trust God to get back into our culture. Phil and I were chatting about it this week. And that place where we... Not necessarily in a formal context, make a meeting and then we come together, but even just in a social context, or in a just context of friends sitting together, where we dig into the scripture together, and we just share what the scripture is doing in us on a weekly basis. And I remember as a young believer that this, I didn't really think about this, but this was such a part of my life. Because of what God was doing in my heart. You know, you'd sit in a service on a Sunday or in a sermon or hear something at Bible school on a Tuesday, and I just be continually be telling people, you won't believe what I heard on Sunday. I read the scripture for the first time. Read this with me. Can you believe it? Can you see what it's in? It's not like I had any qualification or deep doctor's degrees about the scripture, but because it had impacted my life, and because there was something happening in me, I couldn't keep quiet about it. Amen. I remember going to England and working there for a couple of months, and at that time I was doing Bible school correspondence. I had the little tape, and I had my Walkman, you know, very high tech and everything. And I think if I show my children a tape, they will not have a clue what it is. In any case, but I remember just, you know, I started a small group at one point, not because anybody told me to start a small group, because I was so excited about what God's doing, and there was other guys there, and I said, guys, why don't we come together, you know, and talk about these things. And I remember just having this habit of discovering stuff in the Word, and just as a natural outflow, not being able to be quiet. So, God, this is amazing. Look at what the Bible says about this. Or I heard this at my Bible school thing that I listened this week. What do you guys think about it? And there was such a life in there. Because nobody was telling us, no, do this together, or study the Word. Or we would just come together, and each would say, this is what I read this week, this is incredible, it changed my life. Or what do you guys think this means? But there was such a powerful dynamic there, because we were really pursuing God in His Word. And we were not really thinking about it too much. Are you with me? And at one point I don't know if I told you the story, but my friend and I, we were new in the church there, and we wanted to go to the social. They had a Sokkie thing on, right? Like a social thing. And we arrived there on a Friday evening. It sounds like a sensible time for a Sokkie. Friday evening, we arrived there, and there was a small group of people, no music. Okay, cool, you know, it's nice. And they said, no, the Sokkie is on Wednesdays. This is Straatwerk. We are going to do street evangelism. Right. You know, this is not what I signed up for. I didn't come for street evangelism, you know, I came for social. In any case. But it's so amazing, because there was such a, in that little group there, we became friends, and that's where I basically spent every Friday evening that I could for the rest of my time there. And there was a similar dynamic, you know, we would learn something, we would read something, and before we go out to share the Word with people, we would share that. Oh, this is what God is saying to me, and this is what I read in the Scripture. And it was such a great dynamic of just being excited about the Word. I'm excited about what the Word is doing in me. Are you with me? And at one point, you know, we heard about this evangelism course in Vienna, in Austria, and it's not so far, so we drove there. It was quite far drive, but we drove there in my one friend's car. That's actually a long story, which I can't say now. But and then we learned some stuff there, and I remember coming back with a pack of notes and sharing with the rest of the group, because they all wanted to hear, and I was keen to tell what God had been doing. And there was nobody was telling us you must now do this formally. We were just so excited about what God was doing in us. Was doing through us, and we were excited about the Word, and we were excited about seeing what the Word was doing. And often, like people say, you know, the truth will set you free, but what they don't say in there, which one should probably insert, is that first it will make you miserable, because there's a point of conviction, and we shared many of those, you know, recognizing the Scripture, and then like, whoa, that's quite hectic, you know, I'm going to have to change. You know, you're like, okay, you know, and then there would be like a few quiet moments, especially the small group with mostly guys. And then we would have some heavy conviction moments, and then we could pray for one another. Say, guys, this means we have to change. Something has to change. This is what God is saying. There was such great growth happening in us as we were receiving from God, and although we didn't have qualifications and didn't have all the boxes ticked, we could share with one another, encourage one another. And I'm really trusting for that. I'm really trusting Holy Spirit to stir something in us. To not only, yes, we know small group, and we do what stuff that the so many ways that we have that are available to us to learn and to search the Scriptures, that it really becomes. And I want to just feel like Bible school. Guys, if you haven't had a chance, I can't tell you how much it has impacted my life. And it's not because of the brilliant teachers, although we do have good teachers. but it's the Word. It's the Word of God that changes us. And I'm so thankful for those little tapes that I had. Later on, I had the CDs as well, which is really next level. But I remember somebody paid for that for me. Somebody sponsored me because it was going rough. And they said they were going to pay for this huge pack of tapes. And I'm so grateful that my life is completely transformed by the Word. So the first 3 weeks, the sessions are open. Anybody can come. It's not just a show for members. Anybody can come. If you're already coming, bring somebody along for the open session. Even if you just get the freebie for the first 3 weeks, your life will already be changed. Okay, but please join us, guys. I really encourage you. All right, I need to finish. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, 16, 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I actually ended off the last scripture was that, just to tie in with this, he says it ends there, and further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in context with this, that scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Isn't that a great dynamic to have between one another? Well, I can share with my brother a scripture or something that I've read, and we can recognize, wow, this something has to change. We have to submit to one another. And the powerful phrase there is not that I'm submitting to my brother Francois out of reverence for Francois, or I don't submit to Philip out of reverence for Philip, but out of reverence for. So it's not because Michal has earned it that I submit myself to him because he's a great guy, but because of Christ. You submit to one another out of reverence, not for any man, but out of reverence for Christ. Out of my gratefulness to what Christ has done in me, what he's continued to do in me, I can say, okay, I will put myself second in my own opinion and my own thoughts second. I will be willing to hear from somebody else and willing to submit myself to someone else that's praying for me and it's also digging into the scriptures and it's also searching with me. But there's a humility there as well. There's a humility to say, okay, I will put myself second out of reverence for Christ, out of reverence of the cross and what he has done and what he is doing in my life. I put myself second and I'm opening my heart to hear what God is saying to me through other people around me. Isn't that exciting? The Holy Spirit is working through around people around us in small group Bible school, in church, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That excites me. The concept of being thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right. I'm going to end off with Psalm 119. This is a great psalm to memorize, guys. If you're into memorizing scripture, we are a really good one. Okay, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. That's why it's funny. Okay, but it's still great to memorize. Psalm 119, I just want to read these two verses. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And there's 160. The entirety of your word is true, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. That is the value. That is the beliefs, the values that we share in Scripture. That is the lamp that lights our path. That is what directs our steps. And it's in every one of those words, in your righteous judgments. So we're not up in the pie in the sky, Eric Berry. We build our community on the shared belief that we believe in the Bible. We believe in the God of the Bible. And we trust that as we're submitting ourselves to His Word in and through us, those around us, that we're going to grow together, grow as a community, grow in our love for one another, because this is the irreducible minimum of who we are. We believe in the God of the Bible. That excites me, that encourages me, and I'm trusting, and I want you to trust with me for that culture of us being excited about the Word, being excited about the stuff that we believe in. You know, and then we often experience this, and I have such fond memories of mission trips, especially the first few mission trips that I went on, where we cycled around the country for 6 weeks. Lots of time, right? Lots of time to think and pray, lots of prayer happening when you have to cycle a long distance every day. But I just remember sitting with the team and searching the Word and the Scripture, and then having time on the bicycle to think about stuff and think about the Word, and then experiencing how I'm changing because of the Word, and because of, I'm in a team, and together we are agreeing that we believe this Word, we believe in the promise of the Word, we believe in what the consequences that this has in our lives, and we can see, and I can see how even in those teams that made a massive impact on us as a team, as a family, as some, you know, the unit pursuing a goal together, having an understanding, having a like-mindedness about what we believe and how does that shape who we are and what we're all about. So trust with me that God wants to restore something of that as we grow together as a church family, as we grow in our understanding of what it means to love one another, we would be so firmly founded on the foundation of Scripture that would be what shapes us and molds us and governs us. Amen. We're going to have communion together this morning. So why don't you stand and the guys can get the communion. I want to really encourage us, guys. There's a step of faith that needs to happen. Remember, as I said, you know, I was really trusting God to be able to do Bible school. Finances were a challenge, etc. And then this person, I don't know if they paid everything or some of it, but they were also working in the office, so they helped me to get it to England. I've never seen so many stamps in my life of this package. It was covered with stamps because it cost so much money to get it. It was before the days of couriers. In any case, the Royal Mail did the thing. But there was an element of me saying, Lord, I would really trust, I would really want to invest in my growth in the Word. I'm really trusting, I'm putting out my faith so that I'm able to immerse myself in the Scripture, in the Word, so that your kingdom can truly come to my life. Because I recognize that there's lots of stuff that's changed. You know? And the Lord really responded, I believe, in terms of somebody blessing me, and there was provision for that. If I think back at those seasons in my life where I grew the most, it was where that dynamic was there, where I was actively and excitedly searching the Scripture, but the other dynamic was the dynamic of people around me that I could bounce stuff off and tell things to them and share my experience. People saying to me, yes, you know what, you know, you need to go read that again because what you're saying now doesn't make any sense, or you know, or people agreeing and being excited about it. That dynamic of community and being excited about the Word has really transformed how I serve Christ. I want to really encourage us that to really trust God, to position yourself, whether it means to say, okay, I've heard about all these encounter things happening, these courses and things, but what does it mean? Do I want to grow? Do I want to go there? And do I want to be a part of what God is doing there? Or the small group thing, is it something that, you know, should I just go visit one and trust God to connect with a group of people that also want to grow. And then specifically Bible school, we honestly don't make money out of Bible school. It's mostly just a big loss. But it's such a great opportunity to get into the Word together. And there's correspondence as well, if you can't make Tuesdays, but come on Tuesday and trust God to speak to you about it. To show you opportunities where you and I can not only grow in our community together, but we grow as we find and discover the Scripture together. Values, what we believe, what is the foundation of what we believe. You know, guys, what we believe about something is more important, basically, than what we do about it. Because what we believe about it shapes what we do. What we believe in our heart about something, about life, about my job, or how I treat my boss, my employees, it shapes the way I live. Should we be saying, Lord, change my heart, transform me, let your word become alive in me. Change, you know, transform my mind. Renew my mind. Look like Christ. And for us as a church family, that's my prayer as well, that we would be searching the Scripture together, that we would be growing in our understanding of what are the things that we believe together. And how can we discover it together? And how can we wrestle through those difficult ones together? And how can we grow together? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. You are here in our midst. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace, God. We thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunities for us to really just be excited about your word, to be excited about the irreducible minimum of who we are as believers and how we do life and how and what we believe. Thank you that you've given us your word that is alive, that we don't have to go and think up stuff and brainstorm things, but we can dig into the Scriptures, God, together. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would stir that in us again. Excitement for your word and your presence. But also a willingness to share it, Lord, and wrestle through it together. We pray that you give us grace, Lord, as we grow together as a family. That we would discover together, Lord, that we would explore together your word and things that really matter to you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you have made a new and living way for us at the cross. Each one. While every eye is closed here this morning, I want to give an opportunity. If you're standing here this morning and you know you are not right with God, you know that maybe you've heard the word, and maybe, yes, there was something stirring in your heart that I was talking about earlier. But you know this morning that where you are right now, you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you had one in the past, but where you are right now, you know you need to make a change. And you know this morning you want to come back to the Father. You want to lay down your life. You want to receive His gift of salvation. You want to walk with Him. If that's you this morning, you want to receive that invitation to life, would you raise your hand for a moment? Love to pray with you this morning. Father, we thank you that we can, this morning we celebrate the cross, the way that you have made for us. Father, and as you shared the supper with your disciples, in a similar way, we want to share these symbols, Lord, as a celebration of the cross. We do this in remembrance of you, Lord Jesus. We do this in remembrance of your death on the cross, Lord. Not only your death, but also your resurrection. God, we thank you that you made provision for us. We thank you that by the broken body of Jesus Christ, we can have wholeness of life. We can enjoy your fullness of provision. Jesus, let's eat together. Oh God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you gave your Son in our place. Thank you that you paid the highest price for it. Your blood still speaks from that place where it's seeded to the ground. Your blood still speaks and it declares of life and of forgiveness of sins, of a clean slate. Lord. Thank you that you remove our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Thank you that you give us a clean start. We thank you for the life that is in the blood. And we celebrate that right now over our families, over us as a church family, over our city, over our nation, that the blood of Jesus is sufficient for you. Blood is sufficient. The cross is sufficient. Thank you, Lord, that you did not only die, but you rose from the dead. You overcame sin and death. We celebrate the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that you do this in remembrance of Jesus. Let's drink to you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.